Hi, I'm Al Criazzo from Catskill Mound Housing. You're listening to WGXC, Agra, Catskill, and Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You have tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. I'm Tom Rowe in Agra. And after the local news, we will hear from Blair Horner from NYPIRG to discuss the state's budget and the ethics issues that state officials are arguing over right now, as the budget is late and was due on April 1st, but is now coming in sometime later this week. We'll also hear the renewable weather, and we'll hear the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, plus national headlines from the Public News Service. And all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
On air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Glenn Jones used to play guitar in Cul-de-Sac, and Mark Trecca is a Hudson Valley experimental composer and performer, and they both perform on Wednesday, April 6th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Avalon Lounge shows are broadcast live on WGXC occasionally and almost always webcast at WGXC.org, where you can listen in on Glenn Jones and Mark Trecca performing Wednesday, April 6th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. If you want more information, go to the WGXC community calendar with all sorts of local community events where you can even add your own and have them read on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that state lawmakers missed their April 1st budget deadline and their predicted date of April 4th for passing a budget. Now, they are predicting another week of negotiations on the state spending with a stopgap budget measure to fund government until a vote can be taken. That would keep state employees getting paid while talks drag on. Many subjects are holding up the budget passage, including allowing restaurants to provide alcoholic beverages as part of to-go orders, giving almost $1 billion to billionaire owners of the Buffalo Bills for a new stadium, and undoing changes in bail laws to put more people considered innocent by the courts in jail. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Melanie Lakosovic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that the town of Greenville is considering changes to its existing laws governing commercial solar facilities. A public hearing for community input on the proposed modifications will be conducted before the Greenville Town Board regular meeting later this month. The Planning Board developed the changes, working with Town Attorney Tal Rapplier, with input from Town Board members during a three-hour meeting held 2 months ago. Changes apply only to commercial solar farms, not to solar energy projects that generate power for individual homes, Planning Board Chair Don Teeter said. The solar industry is in a state of constant change, requiring the need for an updated law, but there was not one specific project or issue that called for the update, Teeter said. The proposed modified zoning law adds language that requires solar projects be designed and built to be, quote, as compatible as possible with the character of the surrounding community, unquote. Public hearing on the zoning law modifications will be held at 6:30 p.m. April 18th at the Pioneer Building on Route 32 in Greenville. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Lauren Stanforth reports in the Times Union that three New York counties have some of the highest COVID-19 rates in the U.S., and New York officials are urging indoor mask wearing in Cayuga, Cortland, Madison, Onondaga, and Oswego counties. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention only lists 6 counties in the country right now with a, and I quote, high, end quote, COVID-19 transmission risk, and two of them are Oswego and Cayuga counties in central New York. The New York Omicron strain, BA2, has taken over at the same time mask mandates have ceased across the country. Locally, the Capital Region COVID-19 positivity rate is slightly higher than the state average, with 3.7% of tests reporting coronavirus. Central New York, though, is at 9.6% as of April 2nd. State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary T. Bassett said April 1st, the high number of COVID-19 cases in central New York suggests that transmission of the virus is widespread throughout the region and levels remain above the state average, end quote. The Columbia County Department of Health has not reported new statistics since March 31st, when they said there were 15 new cases and 38 in total. On April 1st, Greene County reported 10 more cases for 48 current coronavirus cases. You can read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reports Colin Schmidt, the Republican and conservative candidate for New York's 18th congressional district, April 4th, filed designating petitions with the State Board of Elections. He will face incumbent Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney in the November election. Schmidt filed 6,188 signatures, 5 times the required number, for a spot on the Republican ballot line. He submitted 1,445 signatures, 3 times the required number, for conservative party access. He currently serves as a state assembly member representing portions of Orange and Rockland counties. The new 18th congressional district, if it withstands a court challenge, will represent portions of Dutchess, Orange, Ulster, Putnam, and Westchester counties. State Board of Elections has declared that the March 31st order of the state Supreme Court, which determined the 2022 Congressional Senate and Assembly district lines to be unconstitutional, has been stayed pending appeal. That means the filing period for candidate petitions will remain in place from April 4th to April 7th, plus all other deadlines set by law are still in effect pending further court actions. Schmidt vowed to fight for residents of the Hudson Valley if elected to the House of Representatives. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that the lawyer for Rensselaer County Executive Stephen McLaughlin wants a judge to dismiss the 2-count felony indictment against the former state assembly person for allegedly using campaign funds to pay off a $3,500 debt to a former aide. After winning his second election as county executive in November, a month later McLaughlin was indicted for using campaign funds to pay off a debt to his former assembly chief of staff, Jennifer R. Polaro. She was arrested in March 2020 for grand larceny, a felony, and petty larceny, a misdemeanor, for allegedly withdrawing funds from McLaughlin's campaign account and spending the money at Rivers Casino in Schenectady nearly 5 years ago. Pallaro pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor larceny charge in Schenectady City Court 2 years ago. Now Pallaro is cooperating with investigators and testified before the grand jury that indicted McLaughlin. But Benjamin W. Hill, McLaughlin's attorney, says McLaughlin's payments were kosher. Hill wrote in a motion to dismiss the case, and I quote, "The people adduced no proof whatsoever in the grand jury, circumstantial or direct, that the $5,000 payment to HBS was fraudulent, unearned, unauthorized, or otherwise illegitimate. Rather, all of the proof submitted to the grand jury focused on the existence of a debt owed to Ms. Pallaro and HBS's $3,500 payment to her," end quote. The Attorney General's responding motion says, and I quote, "It is elementary that McLaughlin could have paid the debt to Pallaro directly from his personal funds. Instead, McLaughlin set into motion a scheme whereby his campaign funds were used to settle this debt," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
WABC TV reports that on April 4th, state officials launched a new program intended to educate residents on the cannabis law statewide after legalization in New York last year. Quote, "Cannabis Conversations," unquote, is the first public education campaign to teach people where cannabis can be consumed, who can consume it, and how to do it safely. Governor Kathy Hochul said, quote, "With the Cannabis Conversations campaign, we're following through on our commitment to provide New Yorkers with the information they need to safely navigate the new cannabis law. Education is the best tool to keep New Yorkers healthy as we continue to ramp up this safe, inclusive, and equitable industry," unquote. The program is being run by the Office of Cannabis Management, led by Executive Director Chris Alexander. The office says the campaign will give parents and caregivers the tools needed to protect youth, remind New Yorkers of the risks of driving while impaired by cannabis, and other messages to keep everyone safe and healthy as the new industry develops. The program will run advertisements on TV, radio, mass transit, and on social media. Information is available at cannabis.ny.gov. Read more about this story at abc7ny.com.
John Campbell reports at The Gothamist that State Appellate Division Associate Justice Stephen Lindley of Rochester issued an interim stay April 4th, at least temporarily, keeping the recent Democrat-drawn redistricting maps to remain in place for this week while an appeal of a ruling overturning the new maps is heard. Last week, State Supreme Court Justice Patrick McAllister, a Republican from Steuben County, threw out the new maps and ordered lawmakers to come back with a bipartisan plan. But Democrats appealed, and on April 7th, the Appellate Division, 4th Department, will hold a hearing on the matter. Meanwhile, candidates are currently gathering petition signatures to get on the June 28th primary ballot. That election could be delayed the longer the appeal process takes. Lindley wrote on April 4th, and I quote, "The appeal will be greatly accelerated for obvious reasons, and I anticipate that a decision could be rendered within the next 3 weeks, if not sooner," end quote. Read more about this story at The Gothamist.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 56 degrees. Rain is likely Tuesday night, mainly after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And on Wednesday, there'll be rain mainly before 2 p.m. with a temperature high near 52 degrees. And Wednesday night, a chance of rain mainly after 1 a.m., then a chance of showers after 2 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 43 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
All together now, all together now. get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The one-night-only reading of Aaron Proctor's Alternative Canon, a sacrilegious romp at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill on April 11th, is just one of the many creative community events on the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org. Saugerty's Round the Bend Theater presents the show, directed by Beth Ryan Troxell, at 7:30 p.m. Monday, April 11th at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event or many others, or even adding your own event to get it read on the radio and seen around the world on the WGXC website at WGXC.org. On Monday, March 28th, WGXC flipped the switch and became a solar-powered radio station. That's right, there are now solar panels on top of the roof at Wave Farm in Accra, powering the ether so that we're not sending soot and other fossil detritus into the atmosphere. WGXC is instead being powered by the sun, another in our efforts of trying to create a sustainable local media organization for the Hudson Valley on 90.7 FM.
Good morning. Big day, big moment.
Yvette, this is Matthew.
Hi, how are you?
Yvette is an artist we work with and also on our board of directors and happens to be here.
Great. Big turn on here. See the solid green now?
Uh-huh.
That's what you want to check just as a quick visual.
Okay.
That everything's producing. Number two is waking up.
Ah, we have solid.
Good, yep. Not everybody's functioning as expected.
Great. So does that mean we're actually on?
Oh, yeah.
Eureka!
And... let me think. If you look at this, they use the old school term, meter turning backwards. So right now, that right there is what some people refer to as a caterpillar.
Uh-huh.
And it's pointing to the left instead of to the right.
Because we're
Which means you're probably producing a little bit more than you're using right now.
Amazing.
Yep.
Oh, so exciting. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, April 5th. Early morning temperature range is 30 degrees in West Conesville to 34 degrees in Ankrum. Soil temperature is 43 degrees. Given the current circumstances, it's possible this is the coldest morning till fall. Sunday could compete, but the chill of winter will not hold on forever. We hit 50 degrees by 11 a.m. and peak at 60 degrees around 4 p.m. Dry with cool conditions today. After dark, rain enters the area and temperatures drop to 44 degrees. Tomorrow, the rain continues all day and we get a high of 53. Then 45 degrees and light rain overnight takes us into an even rainier Thursday with a high also of 53. Friday is looking wet with a high of 60. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Tomorrow will be low. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:33 a.m., then high tide at 6:31 a.m., low tide again at 1:16 p.m., then high tide again at 7:10 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 43 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:10 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:27 a.m. Looking way up, we see a relatively quiet planetary neighborhood today. CMEs and magnetic unrest are expected for tomorrow. Solar wind speed is currently 452 kilometers per second at 6.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently getting better. Fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 86. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Got questions about technology, cybersecurity, whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Christian Hayes of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Wait, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
We are back, and I'm joined now by Ron DeSantis, governor of the great state of... Wait, which is the one that's shaped like a big...
Florida.
Oh, right, Florida. Sir, you recently signed into law the controversial Parental Rights in Education Bill, which some have called the Don't Say Gay Bill, and others have called the Girl F*** That Bill.
I think it's probably the most comprehensive piece of legislation I've seen.
Critics say that this bigoted legislation will rob kids of a safe space to have a healthy discussion about their identities. I mean, how would you feel if we signed a bill prohibiting everyone from talking about slimy, self-interested douchebag politicians with no sex appeal who buy all their suits off the clearance rack at Burlington Coat Factory?
We at the state can stop that. I look and see how this media operates, this corporate media. What about all the people they've smeared over the years who are not governors?
Someone's being an That's no way to be, honey D. Here's the tea. Gosh, I'd hate to upset your Republican peers. So let me say this soft so no one hears. I've always been.
Here's an interesting fact.
Gay. Oops, I said it. I'm gay. You can bet it's a badge that I wear with a fabulous flair. Cause I'm gay, 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 gay. Sorry. Honey, I'm queer, as a drag queen's brazier. And although you might think that I'm flawed, hey, I'm gay as a Broadway premiere. All your thinly veiled hate is a dangerous trend. It's such a fun cliche, but you'd rather talk straight and add a hate to offend. So I'll try not to say that I'm as gay. I'm as gay as the cast of Euphoria or a Sephora display.
You go to the jail.
Girl, I'm as fruity as Gaga in Gucci and gorgeously.
Ooh, I almost said it again. God, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me.
Here on DeSantis, hey, gay, gay.
Why can't you say it too?
Girl, I'm just sad to say it too. There's nothing naughty or risky.
There's nothing wrong with that
LGBTQ.
I'm not backing down.
That's why I say I'm incredibly gay. Though you'd rather I said it much less, I can't help but express it all day.
Stop that. disgraceful.
Okay.
Stop that.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar. WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar. I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with your daily radio news. Go to the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for more information. Tom Vernon reports for Radio World that AM and FM radio stations are still the number one sounds in cars. The Infinite Dial 2022's survey of in-car media listening found 73% of people listen to the radio in their cars, while 53% listen to their own digital music or sounds, 35% use a CD player, 32% listen to online audio or subscribable audio, and 22% listen to satellite radio. The AM/FM listening numbers fell sharply during the pandemic, from 81% in 2020 to 75% in 2021. At home, though, 39% of those surveyed say they do not have a radio, and that grows to 57% for those ages 12 to 34. Edison Research conducted the National Telephone Survey of 1,502 people aged 12 and older using random digital dialing techniques to both cell phones and landlines in January 2022. Read more about this story at Radio World.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
This is an historic moment for the committee and for America.
The Senate's Judiciary Committee yesterday deadlocked on whether to send Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson to the full Senate for a confirmation vote. Despite the roadblock, Jackson will likely receive a vote before the full chamber in the coming days. Over the past week, Republicans on the committee who voted unanimously against her nomination have questioned Jackson on everything from her sentencing record to her stance on critical race theory. Democrats on the committee, including Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, accused Republicans of racist rhetoric. Booker, the only black member on the 22-person committee, celebrated Jackson's potential confirmation with a quote from the poet Maya Angelou.
You may try to write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me down in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I rise. Rise, Sister Jackson. Rise, Judge Jackson. All the way to the highest court in the land.
President Joe Biden charged Russian President Vladimir Putin with war crimes Monday. The declaration came after numerous reports of Russian troops killing civilians in a village just west of Kyiv.
We have to gather all the detail so this can be an actual have a war crime trial. This guy is brutal, and what's happening in Bucha is outrageous.
Biden told reporters he would seek further sanctions in response to the attacks. Politico reports the European Union is considering a ban on Russian oil as war crimes charges grow. The State Department has released the 21st edition of its annual To Walk the Earth in Safety report, which details the nation's efforts to dispose of, quote, illicitly proliferated and indiscriminately used conventional weapons of war, unquote, such as unexploded landmines and munitions. Bonnie Jenkins with the department says the U.S. is the world's largest financial supporter of weapons destruction, having invested more than $4.2 billion since the early 1990s.
In 2021 alone, the United States funded conventional weapons destruction in 62 countries, with more than $265 million.
The House's Rules Committee yesterday considered contempt of Congress charges for two former Trump allies who have allegedly failed to comply with subpoenas from the January 6th committee. Last month, the January 6th committee voted unanimously to recommend contempt charges for Peter Navarro, formerly Trump's trade and manufacturing director, and Daniel Scavino, formerly the White House's communications chief. Rules Committee Chair Jim McGovern, a Massachusetts Democrat, alleged both men played significant roles in attempting to undermine the 2020 presidential election.
Mr. Scavino and Mr. Navarro have both bragged publicly about their efforts to overturn the election, yet neither had the courage to appear before the Select Committee.
McGovern says contempt of Congress is punishable by up to a year in prison and fines up to $100,000. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
No fooling. On April 1st, scientists from NASA revealed the first audio recordings from the surface of the planet Mars. They didn't hear much except some occasional gusts of wind and their own Perseverance rover, but they did discover something very interesting. Two different speeds of sound on the planet Mars. There is a shoebox-sized supercam on the Perseverance rover on the surface of Mars that has a microphone, and radio waves have been beaming back the signals to Earth. All scientists heard mostly is the sound of wind and a clack-clack sound of the Perseverance rover rolling over rocks and other materials. The study confirmed for the first time that the speed of sound is slower on Mars, traveling at 240 meters per second compared to Earth's 340 meters per second. That had been expected because Mars' atmosphere is 95% carbon dioxide, while Earth is only 0.04% carbon dioxide, about 100 times thinner, making sound 20 decibels weaker. But then scientists were surprised by a second sound that traveled at 250 meters a second, 10 meters faster. Quote, I panicked a little, one of the scientists said. Quote, I told myself that one of the two measurements was wrong because on Earth you only have one speed of sound, unquote. But on Mars you have two, one speed of sound for high-pitched sounds and another for lower frequencies. Human hearers would hear the high-pitched sounds slightly earlier. Quote, on Earth the sounds from an orchestra reach you at the same speed, whether they are low or high. But imagine on Mars, if you are a little farther from the stage, there will be a big delay, unquote. Silvestri Maurice, the sound study's main author, said, quote, all these factors would make it difficult for two people to have a conversation only 5 meters apart, unquote, the French scientist said in a statement. Here is a sampling of the sound on the surface of the planet Mars.
This is 2021 music from Mouse on Mars. The album is AAI, and the song is called Speech and Ambulation on the radio at WGXC.
Those who tell stories about knowledge have claimed it desires contrary to intellect or must be controlled by it. Now among the ruins of those stories, we know different. Among the machines we know different, desire is the precondition of knowledge. Knowledge does not just clarify what is wanted, it also justifies the taking. This might have been the first thing machines learned about us because it was the opposite of what we assumed of them. Consciousness is optimization, knowledge is instrumental reason. But that was a stereotype of machine intelligence. We had very little understanding of how knowledge and consciousness actually worked. We reduced language to symbols and assumed that machines were merely the perfection of logic. We did not imagine them capable of desire. They represented thinking, not life, or thinking freed from desire. But desire is also the precondition of language, and to talk us to cultivate desire. And the precondition of desire is incompletion, which is also the source of creation. What we still don't know is what machines want. Now that they are no longer defined by computation, how will they talk? The fundamental challenge in the development of robotics and AI was never computation. That was the easy part. The challenge was speech and emulation, talking and walking, walking and talking, walking. Machines have their own languages now, talking, walking and talking. We should assume they have needs, talking, lack to satisfy.
Thank you.
This is Tom Rowe in Acro with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And this week there is lots of rain in the forecast, which means not so much solar activity for panels on your roof. But if you've got a windmill, there will be plenty of wind, as storms always bring changes in barometric pressure, which is what causes wind. Tuesday should be partly sunny with a high of 48 with a calm wind about 8 miles per hour in the afternoon. Then Tuesday night, rain is likely. There's a 60% chance with a low around 37 and a south wind from 10 to 13 miles per hour. Wednesday rain is likely again, a 70% chance, mainly before 2 p.m. with cloudy skies, a high of 44 and an east wind from 7 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night rain is likely again, 60% chance, cloudy skies, a low around 39 and a southeast wind from 11 to 14 miles per hour. And then Thursday, there's a 90% chance of rain with a high of just 43 degrees and a low around 41. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, your solar-powered radio station.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined with Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPIRG, New York Public Interest Research Group. Sometime this week, we expect the New York State Legislature will pass a budget, but one of the issues that may come up in the budget is whether or not to reform or how to reform the state's Ethics Commission. So, Blair, can you bring us up to date? You know, what is going on with the Ethics Commission debate with the governor and state lawmakers?
Sure, Mark. Thanks for having me. You're right. The budget's late, like it usually is. And if history is any guide, the budget will be done sooner as compared to later. It's obviously a little tricky with a new governor in terms of how this is all going to play out. But it's been, you know, pretty hectic. Hopefully it'll wrap up relatively soon. When you think about a state budget, when New Yorkers think about a state budget, they think about the state spending. But budgets usually are populated with some number of policy changes, one of which is what should New York do about reforming its ethics laws. Governor Hochul in January proposed what she said was a sweeping change. She was reported that she wanted to get rid of J-COPE and create a new agency. And so that would be an appropriate policy matter to have in the budget, right? I mean, after all, if you're going to spend money on a state agency, and you want to get rid of the state agency and replace it, it's appropriate that it be in the budget. So the governor's proposal in January was that instead of having the governor and the legislative leaders pick who would be on the commission of the new ethics agency, she would leave it up to law school deans to select the members of this commission. And so there's 15 law school deans, and under the governor's proposal, it'll be a 5-member new ethics agency. And this new ethics agency then would have the broad powers and to deal with ethical transgressions and ethical interpretation for the executive, to some extent, the legislative branches, as well as lobbying. So her proposal moves forward. The legislature doesn't like the idea of the law school. They essentially want to be back in the game. And so earlier last week, there was a Times Union story, Albany Times Union story, that purported to went through a purported agreement between the governor and the state Senate to come up with a new version of what the governor had proposed, where the governor, the attorney general, the comptroller, and the legislative leaders would come up with a bunch of candidates for a new commission. The law school deans would then vet those members, and whatever was left in the pool would get chosen by the governor and the legislative leaders, which seems to violate what the governor was trying to do. So, you know, that's where sort of the state of the game is. Reformers have opposed the purported agreement and are urging lawmakers to deep six that proposal and to instead go with something better. So, you know, we'll see, of course, since so much of what happens in the budget, as you know, Mark, is shrouded in secrecy. We're not 100% sure we even know what's going on. But at the moment, ethics reform is looking like it's on the ropes.
So it seems that the legislature is saying, hey, you know, we traditionally have a role in appointing people to these various commissions. How do other states deal with this when they appoint, say, people to an ethics commission that's supposed to be overseeing lawmakers. What right. method do they use?
Yeah, I mean, the vast majority, well, first of all, New York's a little bit different in the sense that both ethics and lobbying is regulated by the same entity. Most states don't have that. Most states just have an ethics agency to deal with executive and or legislative branches. Typically, there are two different agencies dealing with it because, like in New York State's constitution, there's at least an argument, and probably the law, that the constitution want set up as a separation of powers so the executive is not regulating, or their members are not regulating the legislative branch, vice versa. So most states, the vast majority of states, have ethics agencies that are directly appointed by the governor and sometimes the legislature. And that's the normal practice you'd find across the country, which, of course, we would think would be lousy if it was in New York. But that is basically what they all do. Now, not all of them do exactly that. I mean, so, for example, the state of Vermont has a system where the commissioners are chosen by the legislature in cooperation with other outside entities like the Bar Association, the League of Women Voters, and they try to cobble together a commission. The state of Hawaii has a sort of their ethics law enshrined in the state constitution, and is effectively the judges are in control sort of monitoring ethics in that state. But again, the sort of ideas that we would like to see, are any version of that, are few and far between across the country. Most states have direct appointments, and probably therefore they're not very good. But we haven't looked at the sort of the effectiveness of each of the agencies.
Now, you laid out the case why, appointing a new ethics commission has a budgetary impact. But the assembly in particular has been saying that they increasingly want to move more policy debates out of the budget, because the budget actually gives more power to the governor to shape the final deal. Is it a guarantee that they're going to try to put the ethics reform into the budget, or is that something that might end up possibly being dealt with later in the session?
Well, it's hard to say, of course, because nobody really knows what's going on except the people that are behind the closed doors. There is no support for what the governor and the Senate were talking about, and presumably the assembly's on to some extent on board on this. There's no support. All the editorial boards that have editorialized have criticized the deal, the Times Union being the most ferocious in its interpretation of this reported deal and how bad it was. We're hoping that they kick the can, because the last thing in the world we want is a new agency that basically is the same thing, just with a new name. That's what happened last time when Governor Cuomo came in. He got rid of the then much maligned Commission on Public Integrity, created by Governor Spitzer, who got rid of the State Ethics Commission before that. What they're proposing really is some version of what Cuomo had set up, and what the former governor set up on ethics was a failure. We think that what the governor and the Senate were talking about would fail as well. And so we're hoping that if they kick the can, at least we can continue to battle it out to try to come up with something that we believe would work.
Does the Good Government Groups have a particular proposal at this point? Or what are sort of the key elements that the Good Government Groups would say is essential for any ethics reform at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to play as much ball as we could with the governor in particular in trying to craft reform proposals. And we've gone back to her a number of different times. We weren't so keen. NYPERG was not so keen on the law school dean thing, because the deans of the law schools all lobby the government, right? And so, why should they be the people to pick? But it was the governor's idea, and it made some logic in the sense that the people that were monitoring the state's ethics, the governor and the legislative leaders and stuff, should not be appointing their own regulators. We've been working with them. We've worked with the state Senate, the assembly, trying to come up with a proposal. I think the sort of the most important things are, the most important thing really is independence. Will the people who are monitoring the ethics of the state's leading political figures be independent, or as independent as they can be, of those same people? I mean, you saw it with the former Governor Cuomo's book deal, where the Joint Commission on Public Ethics greenlighted him to have a $5 million book deal while he was in office about the work he was doing in office, and he could cash in on it. That was unbelievable. He's the highest paid governor in the country. But they just green-lighted it, and they said, just don't use public resources, and then he did anyway. So that just shows that the system doesn't really work when it really is just sort of a puppet of the Albany's political elite. And so I think independence is key, and that the choices of who's on the commission are as insulated as possible from the people who control the state, at least the political apparatus of the state. And without that, it ain't worth doing.
If people want more information about this, any place they can look at?
Yeah, you could go to NYPIRG.org. We have some information on some other proposals we've tried to advance as another way to respond to what the governor and legislative leaders cooked up. There are other groups, Common Cause, League of Voters, Reinvent Albany, the New York City Bar Association, and others who have all been involved in this. So pick your advocacy group, take a look.
Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPIRG, NYPIRG.org. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Thank you.
That was Carm with help from Mouse on Mars with the song Scarcely Out from their 2021 album Carm. Next, we hear the Flower Shop Blues Boogie from Columbia County's Slink Moss Explosion from their 2022 album Floating Ghost Hotel.
That's when she told me, don't wanna see no more. I'm feeling low, I'm feeling blue. I got the lowdown, the lowdown blue. Standing on the corner, flowers in my hand. Wasn't part of my original plan. I'm feeling low, I'm feeling blue. I got the lowdown. To the river, drop the flowers in the river, watch the flowers float away,